Good afternoon. Welcome to Line One, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your co-host, Prentice Pemberton. Research indicates that young people are less distracted and do better in school when cell phones are kept securely in lockers or backpacks during the school day. Over 80% of parents say they support making middle schools cell phone free, and the schools that have adopted these practices are raving about the results in the classroom and say that the changes are reflected in the culture of the school. My guest today is Dr. Delaney Rustin. Dr. Rustin is a filmmaker, Stanford-trained physician, author, speaker, and mother of two teens. Her company, MyDoc Productions, has made several award-winning feature documentaries such as Unlisted, A Story of Schizophrenia About Her Father, and Hidden Pictures, A Look at Global Mental Health. Her last film, Screenagers, has become, I think, a driving force in the conversation about technology and youth. In her latest project, the Away for the Day campaign, Dr. Rustin zeroes in on stopping phone use in middle schools. Welcome, Dr. Rustin. It's really nice to have you come back to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
All right. Last time we met, we chatted about screenagers, and I think we did a show on pornography as well. And today's focus for our conversation is the Away for the Day. I don't know if it's an initiative, a campaign, what it is exactly, a call to action, but can you talk a little bit about where this came from and sort of where the idea was germinated and how it grew?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I started filming for what became Screenagers, that was a good 5.5 years ago. And back then, the idea of cell phones in schools was very unusual. But over this time period, I have seen the presence of cell phones in middle schools in particular rise exponentially. So suddenly, I'm hearing constantly from students themselves, teachers, parents, and seeing when I visit these schools, kids at break and lunchtime glued to their phones, and how during class time they are often sneaking the phones. So I started to look at the research, and I wondered, you know, what are the policies for cell phones in middle schools and other schools? And my team, we did a national survey of over 2,000 parents, and of particular note are the 1,200 parents that answered questions who have students in middle schools. And we found that over half of middle schools were indeed allowing students to carry phones all day with them, and yet 83% of parents didn't want kids to be able to use phones during the day. And it started to look at the research around, you know, what is best for students in terms of their social development and their academic development. And you know, the reality is, unfortunately, there's not a ton of data, particularly for this age group, but there is a fair amount of data that looks at college students, and the hit that happens with cell phone presence is significant. It's a negative impact on academics. And in terms of social and emotional impact, we do have research on middle schoolers that's very concerning. The likelihood of experiencing cyberbullying or other negative emotional impact from social media on cell phones is highest in this age group. So all of that put together made myself and my team think deeply about, you know, there's positives around cell phones. Absolutely, there are tools on those devices. But looking at the negatives, it actually seems very clear that having phones put away for the day are setting kids up for much greater success. And that's when this campaign really came to life. And it was really about giving tools to parents and to teachers and other concerned people to be able to go to those 55% of middle schools that are allowing kids to have their phones all day and to bring the data, sample policies, all sorts of, you know, tools, and say, hey, you know, we should really look at what's best for students. And in this age group in particular, phones away for the day looks like a better alternative at this point.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that, I mean, the schools in Anchorage have elementary schools, but half the kids own their own cell phones at one school I was at recently when I did a screenagers filming. And they had them at school. Now, the elementary schools have some restrictions on their use, but the middle schools, I think it's sort of a toss-up. I'd love to hear from somebody, a teacher in the middle schools who can answer that question really from inside perspective. I need to remind listeners we can be reached with your questions or comments for Dr. Rustin in one of three ways. You can call us locally at 550-8433. If you're outside of Anchorage, you can reach us on our toll-free number. That's 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to reach us is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. Today, I'm going to hopefully we'll get some phone calls. Dr. Rustin is going to be with us for about 40 minutes, and then she's got to go out. But we will be accepting phone calls in the meantime, and certainly for that 20 minutes after. I'm hoping people will call in with questions or comments. All right, Dr. Rustin, away for the day. You've implemented this. You mentioned it's a program that gives tools. Can you talk about what people can expect to find if they go on your website or the Away for the Day website, which is available on our show page at alaskapublic.org? What can they expect to find, and what's it for?
Yeah, well, it's awayfortheday.org, and it's really a roadmap for change so that it explains the steps that a parent or teacher, a concerned person, can use to instigate change in their school. So, for example, it will have sample letters that parents could use to get other parents who are interested in this to get involved in it. It has sample letters that can be taken to modified and taken to principals. It has the research that is real, it can downloadable right there on a piece of paper that explains the data behind why this is a most effective policy. It actually has sample policies and sample consequences that schools have implemented. It also has several videos, very short videos, but very compelling for schools that recently made the change. So you're hearing from students, principals, teachers on how that change went and, as you mentioned earlier, how impactful it has been. I have yet to hear from any school who has made such a change where now the phones are put away in the locker, or if they can't do lockers, backpack, for it to not be a major success. And while students in the beginning might complain a little bit, as the year goes on, it becomes the norm. And frankly, you talk to a lot of them, and they're actually appreciative of not feeling the pull of, hey, did somebody just Snapchat me, and I'm going to make them feel bad if I don't return the Snapchat? Once it's a clear policy of the school that, you know what, we're going to keep all of that away for the day, students adjust to it. And while there needs to be some reminding during the year at times, and I can talk about some cool ways schools are doing that, it ends up being a really effective policy. So those are some examples of what's at awayfortheday.org, but there are other tools, again, all about empowering people to go to their schools and advocate for a policy of Away for the Day.
It's really nice because it sort of is a roadmap, or as you said, a template for ways to approach people with significant numbers and research that indicates why this is important. It's kind of a call to action, but I think it's a mental health issue for our students. Can you speak a little bit to that? Like, what does the research show us about mental health problems, anxiety, mm-hmm. as kids are transitioning from, you know, elementary school to middle school and into high school?
Yeah, middle school years, 11, 12, 13, is an incredible sensitive time of development. And as adults, we want to be really aware of that. The reality is, developmentally, they are the most fixated time in life of social acceptance, and the most vulnerable to that social acceptance than any other time in life. And now, with these devices that are allowing students to communicate in ways that people are consistently feeling left out, feeling publicly judged, and at times publicly shamed, it can have really detrimental consequences for our kids. You know, we hear about the intense cyberbullying cases, which are right. tragic when those happen. But those, fortunately, are not as common as the media would make you think. It's not to say that they don't happen. They do happen.
But they're sensational.
They're sensationalized, absolutely. And they need to be obviously addressed in really proactive, restorative justice ways. I'm not at all belittling them. But when you talk to students, you know, and you look at the numbers, what's really concerning are the microaggressions, the micro-emotional hits that all students are throughout the day if they have access to social media. Just recognizing that all of these people, for example, were invited to something, you're sitting there in math and you weren't invited, or that something you posted is not being liked and, in fact, someone said kind of an offhand comment and you don't know what it means, that can absolutely pull you out of focusing on the task at hand, whether it's, you know, focusing on math or whatever else, a group project. You know, the other thing I think is really important around mental health is that social anxiety starts to really take force for many middle schoolers at this age. And it can become really easy to default to a distraction like a phone rather than try to learn to address the challenges in a more proactive way. I think often of Bill Gates, who is the first to say that he was indeed very socially awkward around this time period. And he found himself going to the library and becoming really good friends with the librarian.
Right.
And when he gives talks about education, and maybe you've heard it, he brings her up quite often. And I think about that with our students in terms of their skills to get comfortable going to talk with teachers at break, et cetera, and getting help and whatnot. And if they have their phone to digress to, that's a pretty easy, in the short term, alternative to something that might be harder, usually is in the short term, but actually is going to have much greater benefits later on.
It's such an easy and accessible form of escapism and dissociation to just crawl into an alternate universe, be it video games or social media. Just that preoccupation with time, which is how they set it up. The creators, the inventors of this stuff, set it up to preoccupy as much time as it would and attention.
Absolutely. No, it really is a revolution nothing like we could have ever imagined, how quickly it's happened. And it's really a battle for attention. And, you know, I think what's super important and something I'm really happy that we do have on the website are all these kind of pushbacks. You know, if this is so great, why aren't schools already doing this?
Right.
And I think there's, you know, a lot of myths out there. And one of the biggest ones is that kids just need to learn to do this on their own. And so the sooner that they're just given the challenge of having to pay attention when their phone's next to them, the better. And the reality is, unfortunately, many kids and adults, but particularly middle school, are at a stage developmentally and biologically where we're asking too much of them. We're setting them up for failure, in fact, by putting what is equivalent to, you know, for me, warm chocolate chip cookies at 11 at night. There's almost nothing that's going to stop me from eating those. And for these kids, to have this in their pocket when an incredible social world is there, or Fortnite is calling them, where they get to level up and feel significant, or, you know, some other kind of diversion is right there in their pocket. So that's one of the biggest myths, and it's really dangerous one, in fact, because what happens is if we say, oh, these kids, they just need to learn on their own, And then we set them up for failure, and indeed they failure. What really worries me is that they start to, these kids start to say, oh, I'm addicted to my phone.
And then, I hear that a lot.
Yeah. And it's a really unfortunate mindset. We know these kids aren't addicted. If they're out on their sport team and, you know, really, you know, home base and they're just on the baseball team, they don't need to run out and check their phone, right? Or if they're incredibly engaged with something with
right.
a good friend and the phone doesn't happen to be there, they don't have to check it, right? But the moment we keep using this word addicted, it allows them to kind of just have an excuse for just using it when they're bored or when they want to be distracted or nervous in a social situation. And the other thing is it takes away from their power, the reality that they can actually make a difference, but it takes work and it takes setting up your environment to not be challenged in that way. So I think that it's really important, that particular myth, and there's a lot of other ones on the website that we have responses to when we get pushbacks from administrators or whatnot who are concerned about changing a policy.
Well, let me ask you a question about the idea of addicted to cell phones. I mean, in your film Screenagers, there was a lot of talk of the addictive nature, the addictive obsessive process that goes on with the dopamine pump, and we talk to clients about the addiction process, gambling, cell phones. I mean, and now you're saying shift back the addictive talk. I hear what you're saying mm-hmm. about the powerlessness, mm-hmm. but how do we address the
yeah.
obsessiveness of it?
One is being very clear about what addiction is. And as a physician working for over 20 years in the field of primary care and taking care of many people who are trying to overcome addiction,
right.
it's key that we make sure that we understand that addiction isn't just wanting to do something all the time, and in fact, even just kind of succumbing to it more than we would want to. It really has a lot to do with negative consequences in our lives. So it's not just, you know, really wanting to do it and doing it a lot. There's a real price that's being paid. And that is a key element of a distress, of a discomfort, of a loss. And sometimes people aren't aware of all that they're giving up by just succumbing to their desire, too. So I'm not saying all people know that they have an addiction, but there are definitely people who have true video game addiction, who are playing 30, 40 hours a week and really have lost their connections with relationships and with their balance or having any other goals, and with their taking care of themselves, getting sleep, et cetera. There's a lot of negatives, and yet they can't even see it, you know, and that's a common thing with true addiction. Kids and teens and people who just want to be on their phone all the time and whatnot, they're still, you know, hopefully still engaged in other levels and other places. I'm really adamant that we should really think twice about saying to our kids, yeah, you're addicted, or I get it, yeah, you're addicted. So it does make me worried about that language that has seeped into the common discussion around desire to use a lot.
Yes, it has made it more of a humorous thing. Even in the film, kids were laughing when they were like, oh, you're so addicted to that. So you're saying there's mm-hmm. a definite, it's important to distinguish between true addictive behavior where kids are losing weight and not coming out of their rooms and parents, they're depressed and anxious and only playing video games, in this sort of like dissociative experience that people experience have with devices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was really, really, really careful about that. In fact, in Screenagers, there's really, in terms of when we use the word addiction in the film, there's one moment where I ask kids,
yeah,
you know, do you feel addicted? And they say yes, and that actually leads into the scene where we go into a recovery center where, you know, we meet Andrew, who he was playing excessively for months and months, and to the point where he was in first year of college. He was playing so much, he was flunking his classes, and he had to escape in the middle of the night. He was so distraught, at what was happening to him, but didn't know, didn't have insight that he ran away from the college in the middle of the night. So, I mean, that was clearly, the video games were absolutely 100% controlling him.
Yes.
And having negative consequences. And then, but otherwise in the film, you know, for those who've seen Screenagers or who, those who want to see it, who go to the, you know, Screenagers movie website, you know, because it's still screening in many places, or they can bring it to their community, you will see, Prentice, that it's not, I really don't use that word, only in that section around true addiction.
Yeah, and I think it's important for people to hear it because I do have parents come into my office all the time with that comment, like he really is addicted mm-hmm. to it, he can't let it go, and it's sort of thrown around. All right, my guest today is author, speaker, and documentary filmmaker Dr. Delaney Rustin. Dr. Rustin's award-winning film, Screenagers, has helped spark the conversation about technology and the health of our youth. Her latest project, the Away for the Day initiative, is promoting middle schools going cell phone free during the school day. When we come back, we will find out more about the Away for the Day campaign and how to advocate a little bit more for this approach in our community, if it's something we think you want to do. I'm Prentice Pemberton. You're listening to Line One on KSKA.
Listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Line One, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your co-host, Prentice Pemberton. My guest today is Dr. Delaney Rustin. Dr. Rustin is the creator and director of the documentary film Screenagers, which looks at the impact of technology on the health of our youth. Her latest project, Away for the Day campaign, is sort of a call to action for creating a cell phone free learning environment in middle schools. We have, I guess, about 20 more minutes with Dr. Rustin before she has to take off for another engagement. But we welcome phone calls or emails. Our local phone number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752, or you can email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. All right, Dr. Rustin, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, before we left off, we were talking a little bit about, I mentioned some more advocacy stuff. Your project has been implemented in how many schools? I mean, is it picking up momentum? What kind of, is it a small sample size? What are we talking about?
Well, we're getting hundreds of people to, are coming to the website daily, and we're getting lots of emails from parents and teachers who are bringing the tools to their school. We're getting lots of positive reinforcement and learning along the way what's particularly helpful to people. And it's really exciting. You know, I think this is a crucial time of year because it's when schools are thinking about what they're going to be doing for next year. And I can give you a little anecdote. This is actually a high school, but my daughter's in high school in Seattle, and the principal called me and asked if I would come in and talk with her because, and I think it's important that while we're focused on middle schools, this really, all these tools can easily be used for high school and elementary school. And the high school has it, and this is what I've found to be true in many high schools and middle schools, where the school has left it to teachers to decide what policies
yes.
they want to implement. Yes. And on the one hand, that seems very democratic and can be very, make sense in some ways. On the other hand, it actually can be really difficult and disruptive. And in fact, that's what's happening at this large public high school, where the principal is just hearing consistently from teachers that not having a unified policy is just meaning that there's confusion on the in each classroom, that they're having to police, that some teachers are just completely lackadaisical, other ones really believe that it's a hindrance to learning. So she went right away to the student council, and the students at first said, oh, no, we like having our phone. And within 10 minutes of a discussion, they all switched and said, well, I agree, the classes where they really kept away, the teachers strict about us keeping them away, I definitely focus a lot more in that classroom. And frankly, it's kind of a relief. And she left that meeting with all of those students on her side, as well as the parents at the PTA meeting, all saying that they agreed having a policy where phones would be put away during the classroom time as a universal policy throughout the school is going to help the academic and other ways these students. Now, in high school, you know, she wasn't doing a full away for the day. She's still saying that the students would have their phone in the hall breaks, which frankly is only about 5 minutes to get between classes, and it's a big campus, so it doesn't really give them a lot of time. And it's going to be, they can use it at lunch, which is 30 minutes. So, but it's still, I think, a key policy, and that we've been advocating for high schools to use cell phone pockets, so like shoe bags that hang on the wall. And a lot of high school teachers are implementing putting those right there, and they actually use them for attendance. So those that are really kind of using them effectively, that really encourages students to put them in there or they get marked absent. So whether this high school is going to, you know, ask everyone to, you know, put them in the bag or give the students the option to keep them in their backpacks, the key is that they're put away for the day in classrooms.
Yeah, the research is pretty clear on the abilities, the performance rates go up for kids and test scores go up when they don't have access to phones. Can you talk a little bit? So it's not just for high school. I mean, for middle schools. I've often said high schools would be better off. But what is the age at which, I've read all these articles about all the tech guys sending their kids to Montessori schools and paper and crayon only, no tech schools all the way up until middle school. What's the rationale for that? I mean, what do they know that we don't know?
Well, they know what they know, the reality that the digital age is primarily for youth as well as for adults, a consumption world. If you look at what kids do on screens, only 3% of the time is content creation, meaning like making music on GarageBand, making videos, making things, right? Most of the time is watching shows, playing a game, you know, chit-chatting with friends or looking at photos. And to me, it's a really concerning trend because we have absolutely displaced a lot of creative time, a lot of social play time with resorting to digital devices. And we know that the more kids engage in skills that make them feel competent and fail and try again and try to create something and then it actually works and fail and try again, that they're gaining an incredible amount of sense of self and competency and agency. And that is why people with a lot of means go to schools that invest more in project-based learning, in art, and less time on consuming on what are very rigid platforms. You know, kids say, oh, I'm doing Minecraft, I'm creating. Well, to some degree, and, you know, some time on Minecraft can be really exhilarating, but we want to make sure you're also doing the hard work of trying to figure out what you're going to create, given a blank page or whatever the project is, and then overcoming your inner critic, as well as the emotional exposure. All of these skills that come in schools where they have the ability and the focus to let kids have a lot more time of self-expression. And, you know, I often say to my kids and teens in the audiences where I speak, I say, you know, I'm so happy that I get to do this work as a physician in primary care and partner with people as they try to improve their health. But I have to say, it's incredibly more challenging for me to be a documentary filmmaker. Not only do I have to wrestle with decision making, which is not the same intensity as with medicine, where I have much more of algorithms and an appreciation of illnesses, but I have to really wrestle with my inner critic and my, you know, emotional exposure, like putting myself out there,
right,
creating things. And it's really, really hard. And I often tell people how when I showed the film at Pixar, I said, you know, I heard it's really hard to get programmers. And Guido, one of the vice presidents, said to me, he said, Delaney, you know, we have to compete with Google, and they pay better, but, you know, we're pretty cool here at Pixar, so that's not a big issue. He said, though, the real challenge is finding the creatives, finding the people to come up with the stories, to help create the characters and all of the worlds. And I said, are you kidding? And he said, I am not kidding. Absolutely. And, you know, that is going to be much more of a skill and competency in this digital age as figures and numbers and more medicine gets right, automated and et cetera. And it reminds me of just the other day, I was talking to my friend whose son just graduated from college and had a job interview. And it was all about putting him in settings with other kids his age, you know, early 20s, and having them problem solve. And they were being evaluated for how they worked in groups and problem solved.
Huh.
So if you've gone to schools where they've promoted that, unfortunately, my kids' schools, public schools, haven't as to the degree I would like it. It's meant as parents, we've, you know, really tried to fill those holes as best we can and try to encourage them to be in out of school situations where they're getting that kind of exposure and experience, because unfortunately many schools continue to be primarily lecture based and, you know, understand the material and memorization.
So you're talking about creativity and imagination and critical thinking skills that are not being developed.
Exactly. And, you know, so when kids have their devices, right, and then they can, you know, often in classrooms now what's happening is that the teacher will say, okay, if you finish your work, you can go on your phone.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, if they have homeroom, kids are going on their phones. We're losing those times when kids would doodle, practice their drawing, where they would practice their social skills and be talking with each other, do a board game that might involve several people, right? Or, you know, obviously doing reading, all sorts of stuff that we know that reading is linked to increased empathy. So as well as when they're told they can go on their phone once they finish their work, I mean, believe me, I would hurry up and do crappy work.
Right, yeah.
Check on my phone and seeing what Julie's doing for, you know, what she's going to wear tomorrow. It's just by nature how, you know, many the teens are wired. And it's really astounding to me that this is happening so quickly. I'm really optimistic, though, that that things are going to change because the schools that do it have such better experiences.
Yes.
But it's going to take work. It's going to take us parents and us concerned people to get out there and really talk about it and let the administrators know, you know, what's happening. One of my favorite stories is in Kent, a principal of a middle school, really ethnically and financially diverse, pretty low income in fact. She was dealing with cell phones, you know, tons of them all around the middle school. And she went to a conference And at the conference, one of the other principals or teachers talked about at their school how they had their kids put the phones in the locker for the day. And the principal said, I hadn't even thought of that as an alternative, as a possibility. And you can actually see her talk about this at awayfortheday.org, one of our videos. And I just love how honest she is. Like, it seems like such an obvious answer, but I just hadn't even thought of it. So that's a great thing where that, you know, came from her. But that's what I'm saying. Parents bringing this to schools, often it can be just as simple as that.
Well, I think the cell phones infiltrated the schools in our lives so quickly that they were sort of there before we noticed what was happening. And now it's sort of like unwinding them and piecing them, pulling them back out is difficult.
Yeah. I mean, we're dealing with administrators who say, oh, you know, we need the tools of these phones, right?
Yeah.
That you can be a Quizlet or calculator. The reality is, you know, if we want them to do those things, get computers that they, at times they can be on computers. And the reality is when you say, okay, you can use your phone for Quizlet, what percentage are actually responding to all the Snapchats that they got, right?
Yes. Yeah, you don't. So, you can't monitor that.
You can't monitor it. And so, yes, it's a tool, but, you know, we've learned so far that there's been no revolution in learning, actually, through the tech revolution. So let's get that, hone in on that. Let's get more ways to use tech to really improve learning. And let's not introduce this distraction element until we've gotten much better on the learning end. And then, and hopefully by then, we would be clear about that it's not worth having the distraction. As well as, you know, once the devices are put away for the day, I think that, you know, we will ultimately, as parents, the idea is that we will do our share also, because the real challenge in all of this is obviously policing things.
Mm-hmm.
And schools, you know, like parents, feel overwhelmed at times. And it's really about having a few key rules and having people on board and sticking with them. And, you know, at the Screenagers movie website and the Tech Talk Tuesday I've been doing for a couple of years, my blog now, I consistently talk about, you know, how to figure out the right set of rules, a small amount of rules, and then how to implement them with kids or teens effectively. And I think in the same way that we want to ask schools to do what's right for kids emotionally, socially, and academically, parents are going to benefit kids, particularly by having technology off and out of their hands at a very reasonable time at night, depending on the age, somewhere around 8 to 10 at night. Non-negotiable for the most part. And that teens would have to get their homework done before 10:30. Like that, because they're, and so that's why, you know, screenagers can only be seen still in community settings, because this takes all of us working together. And I really did not want the film to be seen in silos, everyone kind of at home and thinking individualistically. This is a revolution we're in, and it calls for revolutionary actions, which is always coming from multiple areas. I mean, think about the civil rights revolution. When you had Martin Luther King speaking, you had 25% of that audience were white, right? It took that whole group. And it's the same for this technology revolution, this revolution for our, this battle for our attention, our kids' attention, is a massive, massive revolution. And it calls for massive action.
All right. We're just about out of time with you. Can I take a couple of phone calls while you're here, or do you got to run?
Yeah, I can take one. Absolutely.
All right. Nicole, go ahead. You're on line one with Dr. Rustin.
Hey, yes. I have a bit of a cold, so pardon my voice. But my question's a bit dark. With the recent school shootings, my childhood comes to mind. I was bullied heavily. Picked on, physical, mental, the whole gambit. Mm-hmm. But when I was a child, I'm 37 now, people had to come up to me and tease me or strike me. And now, at the worst it would get, I could go home and be away from it. I could be sheltered. And now there's no escape for children. And now the anonymity of social media allows bullying to take an entirely different form that I worry is just disconnecting people, these young, young adults at a really vulnerable age. And I'm wondering what you think social media and screen time has to do with these recent school shootings.
All right. Thanks for the call, Nicole. I'll go ahead and we'll get Dr. Reston's comments on it before we get her out of here.
Yeah. Well, first, thank you for sharing your situation, and I can only imagine how hard that was. I think the caller hit on something that's so important, that for us to have such compassion for these kids and teens who no longer get to go home and escape and get a breath and recharge from whatever micro dramas and macro dramas that are happening in this social world. And on top of that, think about this, that 30% of families fight every day in this country something around screen time. So many more percentage are fighting often. So now you also have this new tension in the home that didn't exist before, as well as the battle in yourself. Part of you doesn't want to go back on your device in the social, but you also want the good things. So the level of that complexity is intense. In terms of school shootings, I wanted to say something. This has to relate to awayfortheday.org. Many parents would think that having a cell phone because of the awful tragedy that happens, we hear so much about, and it's awful when it happens, wouldn't it be important that the cell phone? It turns out when we talk to security experts, it's actually more of a danger that kids have phones than a help, because they can ultimately block cell phone reception, as well as they could start to make noises that can alert a shooter of where they are.
Yeah.
There's many reasons why actually having a phone is more protective than having a phone. And then finally, in terms of bullying and how that relates to somebody doing a heinous crime like this, the reasons are multiple. And the key thing people are working on is how do we address social cruelty in a way that we give more resources and more discussion in schools that's not shaming and saying all of you are doing this and blaming, but more proactive about giving language to help mitigate conflict, as well as getting people into mental health treatment who show signs of really disturbed.
All right. Well, I really do appreciate your time. I know you got to run. We'll go ahead and get you out of here. But thanks for joining us again, Dr. Reston. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, Prentice. Thank you so very much.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. We have, I guess, about 15 minutes left in our program. We need to go ahead and take our second break, and then we'll get back to the phone lines. We have a few waiting for us. Our local phone number is 550-8433. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752 or email us your questions at line1@alaskapublic.org. After the short break, we'll continue with your questions and comments about this Away for the Day campaign. I'm Prentice Pemberton. This is Line 1, your health connection.
Listening to Line 1 from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls.
All Welcome back to Line One, Your Health Connection. I'm your co-host, Prentice Pemberton. If you're just tuning into the program, my guest for the first 40 minutes of today's program was filmmaker Dr. Delaney Rustin. Our conversation was about her latest project, the Away for the Day campaign, which promotes a phone-free middle school environment. Dr. Rustin had to sign off, so we've opened up the phone lines, and we'll go to Jason, who's been waiting for a while. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just had a quick question about, I haven't looked at the website yet, but if there's a technology solution where you just walk in the building and at 8 o'clock the phone service stops working, and if you need to make a phone call, there's phones in practically every classroom in the office, and I don't know whether, I'll look at the website and see if, so implementing something like that, you'd only have to convince the school board instead of thousands of families or whatever to implement it.
You're talking about like airports or places where they just sort of turn off cell phone coverage?
Yeah, I think it can be done. I just don't know whether, I was curious whether anybody's tried that.
Yeah,
that's been a solution.
I talked to some teachers about that before, and there was some reasons for that. There was some blowback from parent groups. So, that's a good idea, though.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to, because there's constantly going to be people, of course, not following the rules, some percent or whatever. So anyway, that's the only question I had, and I'll look on the website. Thanks for the information.
All right, Jason, thanks. I think what some of the little testimonials show on the website that are really indicative of how this solution works is that people really seem to respond to this. So let's go ahead and keep going with the phone calls. I got about, 10 minutes left. So, Lauren, you're on line one. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey there.
I have a comment and a question. Comment? That my son at 18, he finally will be getting a phone, but I just did not want him, we survived just fine without him having a phone. And the other, one other comment, his high school, Bartlett,
yeah,
decided to ban headphones to get the kids to interact with each other more during the break and lunch. And my question is, how do I get my teenage son at 18 who just graduated to take ownership of getting off the computer, and I'm trying to point out it's not healthy, not good for his eyes, he can get carpal tunnel, and things like that, and he doesn't want to play violent games all day. He likes to make ships and design things too, but he would be on a computer for 12 hours if I let him, and it's been a real struggle and a lot of tension. What do you suggest?
Well, that's a really good question. It's one I run into quite often in my office, in my practice, and my colleagues run into it a lot, too. That transition between, teenage years and adulthood, 18, 19, 20, and a kid's just not motivated to do the work. They don't see the point of going and getting a job. There's some depression and anxiety, perhaps, social anxiety stuff. So it really is important to identify what the problem is that has driven this young person into, like, as you said, 12, 14 hours a day of video game time or electronics time. And that's what it sounds like you're talking about, Lauren, is there's something else going on that's probably a little bit deeper than just turn off the TV and walk away or turn off the video games and walk away, right?
Well, I don't let him stay on that long. The most he's ever been on is 6 hours, but more the problem is he just really likes it. He there isn't any depression. He does say he likes the escape from reality.
Yeah, escape from reality. That's the dissociative stuff, the getting out of your own troubles, like you get away from parents. And then at 18, it's tough because they're in that in-between spot where they're really struggling, you know, emotionally, or what's next for them. Some kids have a difficult time with that transition. But yeah, how would he feel? The question would be, if all those games just went away, and you know, like, would he? The word I hear from kids all the time is bored. I'm bored. I don't know what to do. And that's what Dr. Rustin was talking about with the creativity that gets stifled. It's a tough spot.
Well, he'll do other things. He was banned from his computer for a month, from all electronics for over a month, twice. And he'll read, he'll design things on a graph paper. He will build things with the soldering iron.
Right.
I can get him to do that, but I'm feeling that I don't want to have to be the badgering, the badgering parent. I, at 18, our therapist, you know, really wants my son to put responsibility and ownership into getting on and off, you know.
Absolutely. That's the self-regulation piece that is so important for an 18-year-old to begin to incorporate into their lives is how do I find balance in my life? And that's what Dr. Rustin kept going back to, and finding ways to connect with people in real-time situations. So I really appreciate the call. And it sounds like, I mean, if he has a therapist, that's the person that should be really having these conversations with him, because you're right. You can't control it into his 20s. I mean, that's not going to be your role, or else it's going to create conflict in your relationships.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Lauren. I appreciate it. We got a few more minutes left if people want to call in. We don't have anybody waiting at this moment. Our local phone number is 550-8433. Or if you're outside of Anchorage, you can reach us on our toll-free number. That's 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to reach us is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. All right, so if you got a phone call or a question or a comment or what you think about the schools in our community and in middle schools trying that, what would you as a parent think or feel if middle school called and said, tell your kids that their phones need to be in their lockers during the day, the whole day, or they'll be asked to leave them at home. I know how I would feel about it as a parent who I have a sixth grader who's heading into middle school, and I would certainly support that, I think, for my own perspective, but perhaps you feel differently. Perhaps there is... a different proposal that you would make. But it looks like we're getting some phone calls. So we're going to, I think if Dave's ready, we'll go ahead and get you on the air. Let's see. Yeah, Beth, you're on line one. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Beth.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, yeah. My name is Beth, and I've worked for the last 2 years in the Valley Public Schools, Mat-Su Borough.
Okay.
And I worked as a substitute, so I have had a chance to look at a lot of different classrooms, and the teachers who strictly enforce anti-cell phone rules are much more successful at engaging and focusing the kids. The kids are much... better at comprehending and retaining the information. And I do think that the woman was right, that they actually feel relieved that somebody has put a restriction on that, because it is a distraction and it is very tempting. And I, as a substitute, find it very difficult to walk into a classroom where the teacher is lax about that policy.
Yes, right.
And I have to be the bad guy all day long. And, you know, there's so much pushback when the teacher has told them it's okay.
Yeah.
And, but for me to execute a lesson plan with a room full of kids that are, you know, three quarters, their mind's not in the game at all. It's nigh on impossible. And I would love to see schools that, you know, it's a school-wide policy. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and we didn't have a phone in the room, and I survived it. And I just, you know, I'm still alive, and I was okay. And I have to say, the level of concentration and retention that I'm seeing in classrooms is not good.
That's a great call.
I think it's distracting enough to be a teenager.
Right. That's a great call because you get to tell us.
Well, why add to that?
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the call, Beth. Thanks for calling. That gives us a perspective from somebody who goes into a variety of different classrooms and how difficult it is to transition or to get kids to focus into, especially as a substitute. I imagine that would be difficult. We're going to keep going with the phone calls. Donna, you're on line one. Go ahead.
Hi. Just quickly, I raised three kids. They're all in their 20s now, and they're all extremely successful. And they've been very creative all their lives. They've had to learn to play together. And I blame it mostly on the fact that I'm too cheap to get cable.
Right.
And they didn't have access to the computer very much or cell phone. So I think that lady you had talking earlier was right on target about all that. And that's all I want to say.
All right. Thank you, Donna. I appreciate the phone call. And I think that's Dr. McGuire, Paul McGuire wrote an email where he also agrees with you that he took his eighth graders to swamps, museums, school board meetings, got them involved in their own learning and problem solving. And he said that tends to get people out of touch with their phones. And that's what Dr. Rustin says, is that people who are connected don't tend to gravitate. That's where the addiction thing is overused. Nicole, you got about 30 seconds for a follow-up. Go ahead.
No, just, hey, thanks again.
Yeah.
Just surprised with the amount of disconnection I see in adults. I understand that I've been with a cell phone for 20 years. But to see that in children is I think, something that's not been addressed enough in modern society.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thanks for the follow-up. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank Dr. Rustin for joining us. Give a special thanks to those of you who came to my rescue with calls during the second half in an email. Please check out the links and information we have available about today's topic on our show page. And consider educating yourself more on this issue and maybe get involved by talking to your administrators and your school officials. Please let us know your thoughts about today's program or share ideas for future topics by emailing us at line1@alaskapublic.org. If you missed part of today's conversation, you can catch the rebroadcast of Line 1 tonight at 8. Or you can listen to our podcast or find us in our archive shows at alaskapublic.org. Next week is Memorial Day, so Line 1 will not be live on the 28th of May. On Monday, June 4th, I will host a conversation with Dr. Michael Yapko about depression, hypnosis, and short-term treatment approaches. That's in 2 weeks, Monday, June 4th at 2, repeating at 8 on Line 1, Your Health Connection. Eric Bork handled the web editing for today's program, and Dave Waldron was our audio engineer. For all of us in Line 1, I'm Prentice Pemberton. Have a great day.
Line 1 is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Line 1 and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.